Hi there. My name is Ruben, and I'm a pastor here at Living Waters Church. Today, I have the pleasure of sharing with you as a part of our summer series called For Example. This series, each week, we've been having different people share about different roles in our lives and how we can live those roles out by following Jesus' example. So I'll be sharing about the role of parent. But before we get into that, I thought it would be fun for us to ask a few kids from our church community what their perspective on parenting is. So let's take a look.
They keep kids safe.
Same.
To look after their kids.
I don't know, just like raising us and like cooking dinner and cleaning up, I guess. Cleaning the house.
I guess keep you safe. Or, I don't know, do things for you. Like have fun with you.
Go on trips or something, like hang out with us.
They take us camping and skiing sometimes, which is really fun.
Sometimes we go on trips to places.
They keep care of us a lot.
They let us go on their phone when we're bored.
One time we were going on a plane and I hadn't been on a plane yet, so my mom told me what it was like to be on a plane.
When I'm alone, they help me be more happy than I was.
Well, my mom helps me with that by like, if I like fall or get a scrape, she like puts a Band-Aid on it.
Well, when I get hurt, they come and help me. Like if I get a scrape, like put the bandage on it. Or like when I'm sad, they like talk to me about it and makes me feel better.
Well, they're kind of a little like dramatic about it. They're like, oh, are you okay? Yeah. Sometimes if it's just a little like cut, they might, like a paper cut, I'm gonna be like, I'm fine, but they're like kind of a little like crazy about it.
Yeah, like maybe like two.
Maybe. Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a lot, but like three, like you.
What to do? Let them eat candy.
If they get older, I would like to like hang out with them or like teach them some things I like, I guess.
Do something fun with my kids and take them somewhere.
When they like turn at least five and they know a bunch of stuff, then I'll just be like, what do you want? And I'll get it for them.
Was it scary?
I don't know. I'm just confused all the time.
Just love hearing the perspective and seeing life through the eyes of children. It's always a great experience. And so as we talk about parenting today, parenting is a very broad topic, and there's probably so much that we can say. But today we're going to keep our focus on Ephesians 5 and 6 and see what lessons we can learn from what is said in there. And so I'm going to read for you from Ephesians 5, which has been kind of our theme verse for this series. And Paul says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So what does it look like to play the role of a parent just as Jesus? There's a few things that I want to talk about. And the first thing is what we see right here in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. And that's that Jesus showed us the example of what sacrificial love looks like. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Sacrificial love, that is one of the main things that as parents that we need to do for our children. And that can look in several different ways, but there's three things that I want to point out when it comes to look like sacrificial love for our children. The first thing is time. From the moment that your child becomes a part of your family, you lose your own personal time. Your time becomes theirs, and it is no longer the top priority for you and those things that you normally like to do with your time. It takes a lot of time to be a good, intentional parent. And all the time that you once had when you become a parent has now been transferred to raise your child. Whether it's the amount of sleep that you get or the activities that you're used to doing all the time on your own or with your friends, that all needs to be sacrificed. And Jesus set that example to us. Jesus is always present with us. He gives us all of his time, and he is there for us no matter what. And for us as parents, we need to be just like Jesus in that way. We need to be willing to give our time, to sacrifice what we would normally do for ourselves and the time that we'd normally use in order to serve and to love and to raise our children. And when we do this, it makes a huge difference in the lives of our kids. When I think back on my own childhood, I don't think about, you know, all the things that maybe my parents got me or many details much more than the time that my parents spent with me. And some of the fondest memories I actually have as a child is when my dad would take time out of his life and his busy schedule of trying to provide for our family and run his own business. And he'd take me to the park or take me camping and we'd play baseball together. And I remember being out in the field near our house and him just spending hours hitting balls to me to run down and catch and teaching me how to swing a bat and all those fine things. And in the moment as a child, you don't really think much of it. But now that when I look back, my dad really could have used that time to do other things for himself. He could have gone off and gone golfing or whatever it might have been. But instead, he chose to sacrifice his time to spend that time with me. And I'll be forever grateful for that because that's something that really had an impact on me and made a difference in my life. And so as parents, we're called to show that sacrificial love to our children through giving up our time. Another thing that we are called to sacrifice are our wants. And this is a hard one because before you have kids, you're used to just having that extra chance to just do the things that you want or have the things that you want, whether it's a, you know, a hobby that you have or, you know, wanting to drive a sports car or go on relaxing vacations. I know you can go on vacations with kids, but I'm talking about relaxing vacations. Whatever that priority is, as a parent, we need to be willing to sacrifice those selfish desires, those selfish wants for the things that we would put before our children. And Jesus gave us a great example of what that looked like when he gave his life for us. And one of the things I'll never forget when reading the Gospels and reading the story about how Jesus gave his life is actually what happened the hours before he died. And Jesus found himself in Gethsemane. And in the Gospel of Matthew actually uses the words to describe how Jesus was feeling as sorrowful and troubled. Yes, Jesus wanted to give his life for us, and he knew that that's what he was called to do and what his purpose was. But I love how real Jesus was and how he was still very much human and how he experienced those feelings, the sorrowful and troubled feelings, knowing that this is something that he had to do for us and he wanted to do for us because it was what was best for us, to save us. But it was still hard and it still took a toll on him. And as parents, it's not easy giving up our wants and those extra things that we would love to have or we'd love to do in order to do what's best for our kids. But that's our job as parents, and we can follow Jesus' example in that. And when we do that, it makes a huge difference in our lives. I've been reading this book called The Intentional Father by John Tyson. And in that book, he describes five different kinds of fathers or parents. And he gives a really great description of what it looks like when we aren't willing to sacrifice these wants. And he calls this kind of father an inconsistent father. He says, there's an inconsistent father who is torn by personal ambition. He has the capability of doing better at this fathering thing, but instead, he prioritizes his own job, career, and hobbies. These binges of selfishness are often followed by guilt and feeble attempts to fix everything, but there is no stable sense of security or identity passed down to his children. Although John Tyson is talking specifically about fathers in this, this is something that both parents can easily fall into, especially when it comes to our jobs or careers or the different things that we're striving for. But this isn't the kind of result we want for our children. And so we need to be willing to sacrifice these things, follow Jesus' example, and it ultimately be what is best for our kids and will be totally worth it. Thirdly, something that we need to be willing to sacrifice as parents is importance. Importance. So what do I mean by that? When we look at Jesus' example, Jesus came to earth for us, to die for us, to serve us. He was never in it for himself. He went against all cultural expectations of a leader and of a savior, and he came and gave his life up. He didn't come walking around to glorify himself, to make a name of himself, to be this big deal. He came to die for us, to save us, so that we could have relationship with God, so that we could live eternally. And he could have easily fell into that trap of making it about him and to glorify himself. But instead, he didn't. And he set that incredible example of humility, of what it looks like to give up our own importance, our own desire for people to think highly of ourselves. But he did that for us, and we can take that example as parents. And it seems like kind of a funny thing to mention, but you know what? We can fall into a trap as parents to use our children to glorify ourselves. This can look like several different ways, but a few things that come to mind for me is maybe the sports or the activities that your children are in. Sometimes we try to push our kids just a little bit too hard because we're actually more focused on what our kids are going to do for us, or if they're successful, how that's going to make us look. We also sometimes overwork ourselves as parents because we want other people to think highly of us. We want them to think that we're really great parents, or look at all these things that we give to our kids. They have all this nice stuff. Look how great I am. And we live in a generation of parents who use Instagram and to get followers. They use their kids to elevate themselves even on social media. And we need to be very careful that we don't fall into those traps, that whatever we're doing for our kids, however we're encouraging them or pushing them or directing them in, we need to check ourselves and we need to make sure, am I doing this for myself or am I doing this for my child? Because we know that Jesus came not for him, but for us. And let's follow that example as parents. Let's be parents who live with humility. And I know that these things are not easy. And that I'm talking about giving up a lot and sacrificing a lot for our children. And that's very important. But before I move on to my next point, I just want to make a disclaimer. It still is very important for us to take care of ourselves as parents. We can't sacrifice so much that we burn ourselves out and we sacrifice taking care of ourselves and finding health for ourselves. So I just want to throw that out there to find that healthy balance. And if we are going to find time for ourselves or do things for ourselves, have them be things that are good for us and keep us healthy and aren't necessarily selfish things, but things that are going to make sure that we are better for our children. And so we see Jesus' example in his sacrificial love, how he gave up his life for us. And further in Ephesians 6:4, Paul mentions just a small little piece about what parenting should look like when it comes to being Christian parents and following Jesus' example. And this is what he says in Ephesians 6:4. He says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Train and instruct. And you know, it's great for us to love our children and to sacrifice things for them, but it needs to be more than just love. Paul, you know, he doesn't say a lot to parents in this section, but what he does says is very important, that we need to train up our children and instruct them in the ways of the Lord. And although he just does address fathers, it's important for us to know the context of this, that culturally, the fathers were the head of the household. They were the ones that made all the decisions, that directed things in the home. But as we learn in other places of scripture and in the gospels, that he's actually, you know, calling fathers to include, you know, the moms in these things, and that Paul isn't just addressing the fathers, but also the mother, as the father takes lead in the household in that section. And so Jesus gives us a great example in the Gospels about how he trained and instruct his disciples. And so as parents, it's important for us to think about, what does that mean? What does it mean to train and instruct our children? When I think about training, especially right now in this season of life for myself, I think about a triathlon that I'm actually being, I guess, preparing to do at the end of this summer. It's just a triathlon here in Langley. It's something that I've been doing for quite a few years with my kids. We love to do it, and we love to use it as a way to raise money for the BC Cancer Foundation. But it's been especially hard this summer to actually prepare for this triathlon. And it's even harder because I actually have a friend who's currently training for the Ironman. And I ran into him the other day, and he asked me, he's like, "Oh, how's your training coming for your triathlon?" And I didn't have a great answer for him. You know, I've been running a little bit. I haven't really been on my bike, and it's been a while since I went for a swim. And I felt a little bit like, oh, this is probably not going to go very well by the time I actually get onto that course. But I asked him about how his training was going, and he's on a very strict regimen. He's training hard because he knows that the task ahead of him is going to be very difficult. And so he actually explained to me that, you know, just the other day, he went for a 180-kilometer bike ride, and that he had a 38-kilometer run planned for later this week. And I said, "Well, what are you going to do? It's, like, so hot. Like, how are you going to run 38 kilometers? And he's like, "Yeah, you know what? I'll probably take it a little bit easier and just move it down to 30 kilometers. And when he told me that, I definitely did not feel great about how my triathlon's going to go, because if taking it easy is a 30-kilometer run, then I've got a world of hurt ahead of me. But what I love about that is that he actually is this great example of what it really means to train. And we think about training our children up in the ways of the Lord. It's not just kind of going, like the way I'm approaching training for my triathlon. Well, I'll kind of go for a run here and there and we'll see how it goes. It can't just be laissez-faire. It's something that we really need to work hard on. And we need to be disciplined in teaching our kids the word of the Lord and helping them know and understand who Jesus is and what he teaches them. But that begins with our example. I need to train better for my triathlon so that my kids can see that example and want to train more themselves when they do it with me. And this is something I struggle with, not just in triathlons, but even in my own life, in reading the word and studying and being at home and having my kids see me and watch me in God's word or praying or whatever it might be. That begins with us setting that example. And when our kids see us doing that, they'll want to do the same thing. So let's train our children, but we're also called to instruct them. Paul uses a Greek word that describes instructing as correction by word of mouth. Correction by word of mouth. And I feel like that's kind of parenting in a nutshell. That's what we're doing constantly. You know, pick that up, close that door, do this, whatever it might be. We're correcting by word of mouth. But it has to be more than just getting them to clean up their room. This correction is about life, about the big things. And we're called to correct our children when they go on different paths, to show them that correction. But that correction needs to be based in the Word of God and biblical teaching. And so whether we train or we instruct our children, this is something that we need to make a priority in our homes. Our children are being bombarded with messages and ideas and pressures from our world that do not line up with the gospel, that do not line up with what we believe as Christians. And so in order to counteract that, we need to make sure they're hearing those things at home, that they're learning those things at home, that we are instructing them and training them in the truth of who Jesus is and the life that he's calling them to live. Because if they don't hear it from us first, they're going to hear other things elsewhere. And so let's do that as parents. The primary source for our kids' Christian education needs to be in the home. There's great other places, whether it's schools, youth groups, church, that our kids can be educated in that way, and they need to be, but it needs to begin in our home. So lastly, the last point that I want to bring up, we see in Ephesians 5:18, and this is what I love. I love this phrase. It's one of my favorite phrases that I've been using for many years, and we use around the office here at Living Waters, but that's teamwork makes the dream work. And we need to remember that we're not alone in this. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul writes, instead, be filled with the Spirit. And when he says instead, he's talking about not being drunk on wine, not filling yourself with these things of the world, but instead be filled with the Spirit. We're not alone in this parenting thing. And I love that verse, because Paul is basically asking us, what are we filling ourselves with? What influence are we under? Are we under the influence of, in this case, wine? Or are we under the influence of the things that we're seeing on Instagram, other parents that post that look like they got it all together and it's perfect and we're expecting ourselves to look like that? Are we under the influence of media or of peers, you know, the person next door that we feel like we need to look just like? Or are we under the influence of the Holy Spirit? And for us to be the parents that Jesus is calling us to be, we need his Holy Spirit to empower us, to equip us, to strengthen us, and for the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our lives. Not only that, we need to remember that parenting isn't meant to be done all alone. It's not meant to be done on an island. We need to embrace the community around us in order to raise our children well. It makes a huge difference when we have other parents around us that we can talk to, that we can learn from, and that we can walk this journey with together. Something I'm so grateful for is working with Ryan Bedwell and seeing him as a father of three kids that are just a little bit ahead of life than my kids are in. And I love to watch him and his parenting, and I love to ask him questions and be like, oh, your kids have been here. Now my kids are there. What should I do? Please, Ryan, tell me what to do. And it's so important to have those kind of people around you. We also need to have our church community around us. I love when we do baby dedications because it's a reminder that the church is there with us as parents to raise our kids, to help raise our kids and help them know what it means to follow Jesus and make an impact on the world around us. Thirdly, I think we need to remember the importance of being spiritual parents. Some of us are biological parents, some of us are adopted parents, but if you don't have kids, if you're watching this and you're not in that season of parenting, we all can play the role of parent in the lives of young people around us. There's many children out there who don't have that example or who don't have that person in their life to play kind of that parenting role. And we can play that parenting role as Christians, whether it's being a mentor or a youth leader or helping out with kids' church, being a coach, whatever that might be, we have a great chance as Christians to play that role of a spiritual parent to younger people around us. I know for me, I've experienced that in my own life, and it's made a huge difference. I remember back in 2004, when I first moved to the Lower Mainland from Vancouver Island, I didn't really know anyone, and I showed up at college and quickly became very close friends with Luke Knight, another pastor on our team here. And as I got to know Luke, he lived locally in Langley, and he started to bring me home on the weekends to come and spend a weekend with his family. And it was such a gift to me because I got to know his parents. And although at first when I arrived at their home the first time I stayed a night there, I actually broke a few things, including a bed and a counter when I was staying at their house, which gave his dad a chance to give me a nickname called the Destroyer. Eventually, I got to know his parents really well, and especially Luke's mom, Joanne Knight. She very much became like a second mom to me and kind of my mom away from home. And it was more than just, you know, feeding me when I was at their house and taking care of us in that way. But she was a spiritual mother to me. And she was someone I could go to for advice and to talk about life. And even she was one of the people I called when I met my wife. And before we started dating, I gave her a call. I said, hey, do you know this Lisa girl? And right away, she's like, oh, she's amazing. You gotta go out with her. And she was right, because 15 years later, we're still married. So having that kind of a person in your life can make a huge difference. And so we are called as Christians to play that role of a spiritual parent, because there are so many kids out there that need that example in their life. And so as we wrap up, I just have a few things to ask you to think about and to take with you from what we learned in Scripture today and from Jesus' example of what it looks like to be a parent. First of all, if you are a Christian and you are a parent right now and you have kids, I want to ask you, you know, how have you been at following Christ's example as a parent? Are there certain areas that you need to grow in? What does it look like for you to train and instruct your children in your home? And what is maybe just one small thing that you can do today to begin that if you have not already done that? And I want to remind you, you are not alone. The Holy Spirit is there to help you, and we're here as a community to walk with you through that and to support you as you do your best to parent. And have some grace for yourself. I know as a parent myself, I make a lot of mistakes. Forgive yourself and help yourself, you know, to continue to strive to know Jesus more and parent by his example. If you aren't a parent, you don't have your own kids, but you're sitting here and you love Jesus and you serve him, I want to encourage you to think about what it means to be a spiritual parent, to play that role of mentor or leader to the children around us. And it doesn't even have to be young children or teenagers. It can just be people who are younger than you. No matter what age, we all need to have that parental example, that person who's showing that example of who Jesus is that we can look up to and that we can follow. And so I encourage you to think about maybe someone in your life. What is a name that comes to mind that maybe you can play that role with? I encourage you to serve. Serve here at Living Waters Church with our youth ministry, with our kids ministry. You don't have to be a certain personality. You don't have to be all young and hip and cool. Just love. You just got to love those kids and follow this example that we've learned from Jesus today. Or maybe even start a life group for other parents to come and join or for young families or whatever that might be so you guys can journey together in this season of life. And lastly, if you are joining us today and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a personal relationship with him, you haven't made that decision to follow him, my encouragement for you today is to consider that. Life is hard. Parenting is hard. But Jesus came and gave up his life for us so that we could find life. He changes our hearts and he helps us walk through those challenges that we face every day, especially as parents. When you experience Jesus' love and you decide to follow him, everything changes. You are no longer alone. Jesus will transform you. And he will bring healing to your heart. And when you allow him to do that, then that will help change how you parent and how you're a husband or a wife or how you're a friend or a sibling. It will change everything for you. And you will also have the community of believers around you to help you through whatever it is that you're facing. And so if you haven't experienced that love of Jesus, if you haven't had that chance to make that decision to follow him, I encourage you to take that risk, take that leap, because you will not regret it. Feel free to reach out to anyone here at Living Waters, any of our pastoral team, and we'd love to journey with you more and talk to you more about what that looks like. Our world needs more parents, biological or not, who love young people, who are willing to sacrifice, who are willing to train and instruct and to journey with children who don't have that example in their lives. And the more that we can do that, the more that we can parent just as Jesus, the better this world will be and the better that next generation will be. So I encourage you to step into that. I'm just gonna invite Joanne Knight, the one who I mentioned earlier, who has been like a spiritual parent to me, to pray for us today as we finish up. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. It's good to be here. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the greatest example of a parent. You are gracious and compassionate. You are slow to anger, and you're rich in love. And Lord, today, we come before you and we ask that you would help us to be the parents that you have created and called us to be. We are fallible human beings, and we make mistakes. So help us, Lord, to be able to recognize those mistakes, to ask for forgiveness from our children, just as we would freely forgive them. Help us to be good listeners, to be attuned to the needs of our kids, to walk with them, to support them, to encourage them. Help us to sacrifice in the way that you sacrificed for us, putting them first above our own needs and our own wants. Lord, I ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit to enable us to do these things that you're calling and asking us to do. I pray, Father, for wisdom, for discernment, as we navigate our world, our culture. It is so full of things that are difficult and challenging for parents today. And so I ask, Lord, that you would give us your divine wisdom to know how to navigate these tricky waters. Lord, I pray for those that have people in their lives that don't have parents that know you or have a not good relationship. I ask, Lord, that we would see those in our sphere of influence and that we would be aware of how we can impact and make a difference. Help us, Lord, to follow your promptings as you bring people into our lives. Help us to reach out and to encourage and to incorporate them into our families. Help us to be the moms and dads to those that need it, those that need those spiritual parents. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunities that we've all had to be those people in others' lives. And I pray that we would continue to open our hearts to those that need us. So, Lord, we just give you praise and we give you glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.